Marcos, come stand by me. Maybe I'll quit talking. Let you have it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody here? Raise your hand if you've never met Marcos Bowling. Okay. Marcos, you got some people there to meet here after church. You'll get to hug their neck and meet them, and then you'll be friends for life. Okay. Amen. Marcos, his wife and family came to us many, many years ago, and we've been a part of one another's lives and ministry ever since, and we just highly recommend them. So enjoy.
Thank you, sir. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, God is a good God, and Jesus is Lord. Amen. Praise God. It's a privilege to be with you. I want to just right off the bat want to thank you for having us come, and thank you for your partnership, and just thank you for being you. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you've known Calvin and Barbara for any length of time, Pastor Calvin and Barbara, you will know that they are the real deal. Amen. I've known them, well, how long have we known each other now? Well, I came actually in 92, and then we moved here in January 1st, 95. Wow. So, and they're still the same, except hungry for God, except just more on fire for the Lord. Amen. So, praise God. God is good. I love your worship band. Hallelujah. That song, I Exalt Thee. I am, every time now I make a point, when that someone starts playing that song, I just whisper to the Lord, thank you. Because when I was a teenager, sitting approximately right there, not in this church, but in another church, but in the same kind of church, same kind of sanctuary, right there, I was doing my best to just kind of worship God, singing that song, I Exalt Thee, We Exalt Thee. When suddenly, His love, His presence, I don't even know how to describe it, His presence enveloped me for the very first time. Instantly just started weeping. I just had an encounter with the living God. My life was changed forever. Amen. So now, every time I hear that song, it's like, thank you, Lord. Thank you for coming upon me that day and visiting me, changing, marking me. Amen. I'm so thankful for the presence of God. Once you taste the presence of God, nothing else really satisfies. Everything else will leave you empty. So if you haven't tasted the presence of God, seek Him with all of your heart until you find Him. The Bible promises, if you seek me, you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Search for Him. Don't rest until you encounter Him. And once you encounter Him, you won't want anything else. Amen? Praise God. So, amen. Nice song. Beautiful. Glory to God. Before I get into the message, I just want to give you a report of some of the things that's going on, because you guys partner with us, and it's scriptural. Paul, when he'd go back to his base church, his base of grace, Antioch, as well as Jerusalem, when he'd go back to Jerusalem, he would gather the people together and discuss what God was doing through his ministry. And so I'm glad to report to you that in India right now, we've been doing miracle crusades and conferences in India since 2001. Our very first crusade was in January of 2001. And since that time, we've been doing them consistently, different place every time, different city. So many needy areas there. But to date, we are at approximately 5,300 churches that have come out of those miracle crusades and conferences. 5,300 churches. Isn't that awesome? Now, I want to clarify, I do not oversee those churches. We gather the pastors, we pour into them about 3 hours a day for 3 to 4 days, depending on the location. And that, you know, they already belong to denominations and fellowships and stuff. We're not there to plant a church, a new church, or a new fellowship. So, and that's one reason why we have such a great cooperation. There's no competition. In fact, the walls and the barriers between them come down when we go. And usually, everywhere we go in India, because we're going to places where most evangelists don't want to go. Not because they're bad, they just, you know, they go to the bigger cities and so forth and so on. We go to the places where there haven't been crusades. That's usually, you know, usually the case. That's our goal. Because we want to go where people haven't heard. Amen. And so, most of the time when we go conduct a crusade, it is the first time all the pastors have cooperated together on one event. And it's also usually the first time that there's been such a large crowd gathered. Usually every place we hear it, it's historic. Every place. Crowds not, I mean, they're larger than the political events. Glory to God.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Praise God. Most of the time. Not all the time, I'm sure, but. And so God is doing incredible things. So these pastors, I mean, they are in fellowship there, and we are still in contact with them through our director. In fact, we just gathered more than 400 of these pastors this past December and taught them about 6 hours a day for 5 days. And we would have gathered even more, but that was a very huge budget right there. It was about $20,000 to do that because they were coming from other areas and we had to house them and feed them and the hall had to be larger. And so it was a large budget, but well worth it. And in fact, if you'll keep this in prayer, we recorded all of those sessions and we are making plans. In fact, those sermons are being transcribed right now. We're going to put it in book form. Originally, I was going to put it in one big book, but my board members advised me to put it into 3 books because the American people don't like big books because we are a lazy people. Huh. Except for Sister, where is she? Christina. I saw that giant book she was carrying around. She's probably studying right now. I don't know. But no, in all seriousness, yeah, a lot of times a bigger book is more intimidating. So we are putting it into 3 books, Foundational Doctrines. And we will sell it in America, but we will translate it into the languages where we go minister, and we will distribute it for free to all the pastors who attend our conferences, unless the Spirit deals with us differently. So if you keep that in mind, if you pray for us, please pray about that, because we've never done such a project, and I know it's a very costly project, but we believe. It's been in my heart for many years to do such a thing, and we are just now getting ready to do it. So praise God for that. In the Sudan, South Sudan, we've done 3 crusades there. Just received a report. No, we've done 4 crusades there. 2 of them were smaller. There are now 105 churches there. Praise God. Philippines, there's 25 churches at least. And in Pakistan, the last I heard, 75 churches, but the communication there is really poor. Our original director there no longer lives there. He's in the States on asylum. He had to flee. It's very dangerous there. And so, but as far as we know, about 75 churches in Pakistan. And so God is doing great things. It seems somewhere else. Oh, yeah. Oh, Northern Kenya, we did a crusade in Ludwar, a place called Ludwar. This is one of the highlights of my life. On the 6th night, I believe, we had a 7-night crusade. The 6th night, there were 11,000 people there, and approximately 10,000 of them, think about this, were baptized in the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. Think about that. Glory to God. And today, out of that 1 7-day event, because of the training of the pastor, so forth and so on, this happened in 2007, there are now 381 churches throughout northern part of Kenya in different cities. But isn't that awesome? Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. And these pastors, I mean, they are the heroes. They're taking some of the things that were were teaching, and they're assimilating it, and they're going, and they're multiplying. Amen. They are multiplying, and they're reaching people that I would never reach, that you would never reach. Amen. Unreached people. I'm talking about people who don't even dress in a modest way. Are you listening to me? Because that's their culture. You know, their dress is completely different, and but they're reaching them. Unreached people groups are being reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that what it's about? Are y'all here? You gone home? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So praise God for what he's doing. And we're just hungry for more. Amen. My wife and I, we leave for India and Nepal the 26th of this month. We'll be teaching a full four weeks in the school that we served for 5 years. They need our help right now, so seemed good to us to go. And so we're there for 4 weeks. And then we're going to have a few days of R&R. Glory to God. I believe in R&R. How many believe in R&R? If you don't, come up here and we'll pray for you. Amen. I told Victoria, because we lived in India for 5 years, and the whole 5 years we were there, we never went anywhere special in India, even though it's there. I mean, I've never been to the Taj Mahal. Never been there. I've seen the pictures. It's good enough for me, at least for right now. And so we're going to a place called Goa. That's a state in India. It's on the west coast. It's a Portuguese settlement. And we're going to chill on the beach for about 3 days. And then we go to Nepal, Kathmandu. It will be my first time there, her second time there. She was just there a few months back for a full week teaching students the Believer's Authority. And she went without me. And so, in fact, she went to India without me last year, too. I mean, I was in India, but just different times. And we'll be there again for 2 days for a minister's conference. So, a lady who oversees that school has invited us to come. And be in prayer about this next year, maybe around, we don't know yet, March, April, or June, Victoria and I are praying about going back to Nepal for a full month to help in that Bible school. So God's doing good things. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And the best is yet to come. The body of Christ is moving forward. Can you say amen? Amen. Good things are happening. Okay. Did you come ready? Ready to receive from the Word of God? I believe I have a message that's going to really help you. And God is here to help you. That's the most important thing. Amen. Open your heart up to the Lord. Expect good things. Expect miracles. Expect Him to do something significant in your life. Amen. Your expectation is His invitation for His manifestation. Can you say amen? Expect, every time you come to church, expect God to do something in your life. Amen. So let's lift our hands right now and pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the privilege to be here in Douglas, and thank you for Pastor Calvin and Barbara and all of those who serve and the staff here, the worship, the associates, all here. Lord, we just thank you for their heart to serve in this place. And we thank you for the destiny and for the plans and for the purposes you have for this church as well as the city of Douglas. We thank you, Lord. You complete that which concerns them. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we approach your word with humility, with reverence, with expectancy, because your word is you talking to us. Lord, may you speak to our hearts now. Open hearts, open minds. May light come into everyone's heart as we teach your word. I thank you for the great Holy Spirit. I trust him to live big on the inside of me, to think through my mind, to speak through my lips. Thank you that you have anointed me with him, the Spirit of the Lord, to preach and teach your word and to minister, to heal. We thank you, Lord, for your will to be done today. Your kingdom come in Jesus' name. We vow to give you the glory and honor for what you'll do. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Praise God. If you go to Luke chapter 5, I would ask for your patience here with my voice. I'm overcoming some things right here, and glory to God. But God is good. Victory's always ours. He always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. No one likes losing. Well, thank God if you're in Christ, you don't ever have to lose. Because He always causes us to triumph in Christ. Luke 5. Luke chapter 5. And we're going to start with verse 17. We're going to go to several passages. So if you like to take notes, you might want to get your paper out. So you can go review this when you go home. Luke chapter 5, verse 17, we'll start with this story here. It says, "Now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching," that's Jesus, "that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said to him, 'Man, your sins are forgiven you.' And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, 'Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?' But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, 'Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven you, or to say rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins,' he said to the man who was paralyzed, 'I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house.' And immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, 'We have seen strange things today.'" Glory to God. Amen. I was just recently in India, the month of May and June, and we conducted 3 miracle crusades and 3 pastors' conferences. We had about 19,900 people come to Christ in those 3 crusades. On the last night, or not the last night, the last crusade, I just received this report. A lot of times I don't know what's going on until I get home. I hear about it later. There was someone listening to the crusade from their house. When we do crusades, they're outside. Amen. And those speakers are loud. And this is a smaller community. They predicted about 12,000, up to 12,000 people were listening to the gospel just from their house. One woman was paralyzed. Maybe it was a man. I don't remember. But anyway, it was somebody. It was a human being. It was a woman, yes? That was a woman. Okay, a woman was paralyzed, listening to the gospel from her house. Hallelujah. And Jesus healed her right there. I never prayed for the lady. I didn't see the lady. You listening to me? I didn't lay hands on the lady. She simply heard the preaching of the gospel. Now, I did pray a mass prayer over the crowd that was there, and I do pray for the people listening to their home, so maybe I did pray for the lady, but not personally. Amen. And the paralyzed lady was healed by the power of God. Amen. Amen. This happens from time. Well, actually happens a lot. But, you know, it's a little bit more dramatic when they're paralyzed. Amen. Back in, I don't know what year it was, but it was in Putrajaya, India, several years ago. We were in a community of 30,000 people preaching the gospel outside. Glorious things were happening. Marvelous miracles were happening. Tremendous. I mean, there was one man. The weekend before we arrived, he had suffered a stroke. So half his body's paralyzed. His face is drooping like this. Can't lift his hand. Can't lift his leg. Just drags it like this, you know. He was healed on one night. The next day I saw him, and we were actually the next day, so this would have been the day number 4. That meeting was kind of rained out a little bit. I mean, people came, but it was a very small crowd because the roadways, you know, they couldn't get there. So it was a very small crowd, but I'm during the day I'm watching this guy, I'm studying him, because the night before he had a droopy face and his hand couldn't lift, and he couldn't lift his leg. And the man was completely healed. You could not even see any effects of the sickness or the stroke that he had had the weekend before we arrived. Complete. You would never have known that he had been any kind of symptoms. It was amazing. It was beautiful. Jesus is Lord. But in that crusade, there's a man, night number 3, listening from his house, completely paralyzed for 2 years and blind. 2 years. I mean, he couldn't even sit in a chair. His whole body would just fall over. Lying on his back for 2 years. And while he's listening to the gospel message, suddenly a power goes into his body and he stands up healed of all his paralysis. Still blind, but of all his paralysis, still just healed. And he came 2 nights later, night number 5, because night number 4, a lot of people didn't come because of the rains. And there he was on the platform. He was guided by somebody because he was blind, but he was healed. No more paralysis. Laid hands on him in the name of Jesus for his eyes. Nothing seemed to happen. But about a year ago or so, I talked to the convener of that, of the one who hosted that crusade, because he invited us to do another city because he moved. He went from pastoring at this church to another church. He invited us, our team, to come there, and we did the crusade there. And I said, how about that man? How is he? How's his eyes? Oh, he's healed. Yeah. You listening? Oh, praise God. You listening to me? See, some miracles are instant, some are gradual. What's important is that you're healed. Yeah. What's important is that you believe. It's amazing how people believe when it comes to other things, but when it comes to God and the things of God, you know, oh, you got to give me evidence first. I have evidence for you. Jesus has risen from the dead. That's all the evidence you need. How is it that you shake hands with someone who's, you find out is sick? Huh? You find out they're sick and you shake hands with them. They cough on you or whatever. Well, you don't feel sick and yet you believe you're getting sick because they coughed on you. Hmm? Or how about you go to the doctor and they give you an antibiotic and you take the first round, you got to do it 3 times a day for whatever, 10 days. And you take that thing for a whole day and you don't feel any better and yet you believe you're recovering. Huh? Have no physical evidence of it. But because the doctor told you you will get better, you believe it and you act on his word and you get healed. Come on now, don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good. Huh? Come on, think about it. How about this? How many of you have ever gotten a job? Oh, lift your hand. How many have gotten a job? You've gotten employment. Not maybe now, but you've been hired. Huh? You go to the interview and they say, we're going to pay you such and such amount of money for your time. You've never seen the money. You don't even know this boss. And you go home and you call your mama or you call your wife up or whoever. And you say, guess what? I just got a job and I'm getting paid this much amount of money. And on such and such a day, I'm getting a paycheck. It's going to be this amount of money. Get ready, man. Go ahead and go buy that car because now we can afford it. You're making plans and yet you've never seen a dollar bill from the man. And you will even go work for him. You'll put in all this time. And he's never given you a dollar because you believe his word. Come on now. Are you listening to me? Well, we ought to have the same kind of faith with our Father who loves us. Amen. Heaven and earth will pass away. People will let you down. But God Almighty will never let you down. He loves you. He cares for you. And he paid a great price for your redemption. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Now, look at this story here. Oh, hallelujah. Look at this story. I want you to notice something here. The Bible says that these Pharisees and these doctors of the law and all of these people were coming from all the surrounding towns. And they were filling this house. The place was so packed that even when the paralyzed man was brought there, they couldn't even get him in the door. Are you listening? What does the Bible say? The Bible says, look at it, verse 17, and the power of the Lord was present to heal who? Them. How many of them got healed? None of them. Not one of them did. Yet the power of the Lord was present to heal them. God was there. The Holy Spirit was there. The anointing was in that place. Jesus is preaching the powerful word of God. Yet not one of them received healing. Why? How come? And yet then, now, this paralyzed man is brought by his four friends. They can't even get in. But they didn't quit. They didn't give up. Praise God. Can you imagine? Now put yourself in that paralyzed man's shoes. Think about it. Would you allow yourself to be lifted onto a roof? Obviously, it wouldn't be like this, but, you know, on someone's roof where there's tiling. Would you allow yourself on your stretcher to be lifted up like that? And then they probably had some rope or something. They lowered them down to the feet of Jesus? Or would you be too embarrassed? Oh, I don't want people to see me. I don't want to attract attention to myself. Are you kidding me? You're going to make me do that? He didn't seem to mind. Why? He knew where he was going to be able to walk again. The Bible says when Jesus saw their faith, he said, man, your sins are forgiven you. You see, faith gives action to the power. I'm going to say it again. Faith gives action to the power. And thus we must understand how to operate in faith. Why? Because Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. You say, well, I don't like that, Brother Mark. Well, that's okay. That's still God's way. You can't change a law. Amen. Yeah, you understand that sometimes the Holy Spirit is emphasizing different things throughout the body of Christ. And, you know, we had, for example, the healing wave that came. Well, healing already belonged to the church before the healing wave came. It's just that there was something that was emphasized in the 1940s and 50s. And there were healing evangelists and prophets with tents all over the country having miracle crusades. And wonderful things were happening. And then after that, you had the charismatic movement. Where, I mean, Catholics are getting saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit. Hippies are getting born again out there smoking pot, receiving Jesus, and then they're getting set free. And just, you know, people with long hair down their back are laying hands on the sick and people are getting healed. Are you listening to me? Beautiful. Then you had the Word of Faith movement, which there was an emphasis of the teaching of the Word of God, especially in the area of faith. But then you had a joy movement that came, a move of the Spirit where people were just lying on their backs for hours and laughing in the Spirit and just having encounters with God. And really, those two movements have kind of married. And we're still in the midst of that in a sense. It's not as strong in some places as it could be. Amen. But my point is this. No matter what God is emphasizing, it doesn't change laws that he has established. For example, 2,000 years ago, the law of gravity still existed. Amen. If this building existed 2,000 years ago and you were to go up on that top of the building and jump, you're not going up, you're going down. Isn't that right? You're going to fall down to the ground and probably hurt yourself. Doesn't matter what year you're living in. The law of gravity still works. The law of faith still exists. It's an unchanging law that if you learn how it works and you work it, it'll work for you. Amen. Here in Jesus' day, the power was there. The presence was there. There was no faith there until the paralyzed man showed up and he saw it. Jesus saw it. It says when he saw their faith, he said, man, your sins are forgiven you. And the man was set free from his sin, and then he got up and walked. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank God. Thank God. No, faith never gives up. That was an instantaneous thing right there. But faith never gives up. Look at Luke 18. Let me show you something else. See, we have seen healings that are instantaneous, but we've also seen healings that are gradual. And what's important is that you just continue to believe and seek God and never quit. I was reading in a book, an excellent book, When Heaven Comes Down. Pastor Cheon's church, there was a lady who was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. Am I saying that right? Yeah. Oh, by the way, our crusade in Eugene, Oregon, we had a man there, 21 years afflicted with MS, could not even stand on the grass. He came with some kind of brace and walking apparatuses, and the man was healed by the power of God. The next day, he went shopping without his electric wheelchair. Hallelujah. He apparently has a hill in his backyard. He went down the hill and fed his chickens. Healed. 21 years afflicted with MS, healed by the power of God. Isn't that beautiful? The man who laid hands on him was healed like two nights before, needing knee replacements. And he was healed, going up and down and kneeling on his knees and just happy, big old Italian former mafia guy. Hallelujah. Amen. Just a beautiful thing. And so God does the immediate, does the instantaneous. But here, let me tell you, I'll show you another story. And this is why we never quit. And you never say, if you pray and nothing seems to happen, oh, God's just not doing anything. Uh-uh. Never, never, never. And we're going to show you how to avoid that here in just a little bit. But in Cheon's church, this lady was diagnosed with MS. Might have been a man. I just read it this morning, but it was a human. It was a human. Amen. We'll call it a lady, though. 18 years, or excuse me, I'm sorry, no. That guy was healed for 21, he had been afflicted for 21 years, and he was healed instantly. Well, this lady got diagnosed with MS, and suddenly she's not walking, can't walk right. They had the MRI, all the symptoms were there, everything that showed that she had MS was there. And for 18 months, they prayed for her. Every Sunday, she was believing God. She was a part of the church. So immediately, she was believing God. Those around her were praying for her. And after 18 months, there was zero sign that God had answered any prayer. No improvement. Are you listening? After 18 months, and they prayed again, and suddenly, completely healed by the power of God. Went back to the doctor, had the MRI, everything, no trace of it, all gone, completely healed. Now, that doesn't mean God was withholding healing. We don't understand everything, but something clicked, and they were able to receive, and she was completely healed. Now, what did Jesus say here in Luke 18? Notice what he says. Then he, verse 1, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Or you could say, men ought to always pray and not give up. Never quit. Never quit. Be believing and looking on the inside. Lord, is there anything you want me to do? Is there any adjustments I need to make? Is there any wrong thinking? Is there any attitudes I need to repent of? And if the Lord doesn't highlight anything, then just keep standing your ground. Keep believing. Stay in the face of God. Now, look what happens here. I'm not going to tell you the whole story. I just want you to see Jesus' conclusion. There's a widow woman here. She's going to this judge who was unjust, didn't care about anybody, and especially about this woman. And she kept going to him, Avenge me of my adversary. Give me justice. Give me justice. Give me justice. And Jesus goes on to say, even though that man did not care about the woman, even though he was unjust, he said, I don't care about this woman, but I don't want to listen to her forever. She's just going to keep bothering me. She's just going to keep nagging after me. And so I'm just going to give her what she wants. Sometimes husbands do that, don't they? Sorry. I can only say that because my wife's not here. I'm joking. No, I love my wife. Trust me. Been married 21 years. Glory to God. And but anyway, the unjust judge said, you know, I don't want to listen to this woman anymore. I'm going to give her what she wants, even though I don't care about her. Notice what Jesus says. At verse 6, he said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall not God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? See, when Jesus comes, what's he going to be looking for? Faith. Glory to God. He's going to be looking for faith. But think about it. If an unjust judge would give vengeance to this woman, avenge her of her adversary, and he doesn't care about her, he doesn't fear God, he's not just, he's unjust, how much more our Father, who's just, who cares about you, who's righteous in all his ways, if you come to him in faith, he's going to meet you. He's going to perform his word for you. Can you say amen? Amen? Glory to God. Never quit. Never give up. Keep coming. Keep seeking. Keep standing on his word. Yes. Keep thanking him, because he will perform his word for you. He's not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he'd change his mind. Can you say amen? Amen. All right, now, let's go to James 5, please. Are you with me? I hope this is helping you. Glory to God. James chapter 5. This is powerful stuff here. James chapter 5. Verse 14 is, well, it's all wonderful. But verse 14 is wonderful, but I want you to just, for the sake of time, focus on verse 15. He's dealing with praying for the sick here. And I want you to notice what the Holy Spirit, through James, tells us. He says, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. We'll just, for the context, we'll go ahead and read the rest. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Now notice the word if. So we are not to assume if someone is sick that they're living in sin. Because it says if. That means there's a possibility there is no sin present, right? But sin does open the door for sickness and disease. And so if they've gotten to sin and they've just messed up and it opened the door for sickness and disease, the Bible says if they have committed sins, they will be forgiven. Now, I want you to notice that real quick also. It's kind of off topic, but it's something going around in the body of Christ right now, so I'll just address it briefly here. Notice it says, if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven. Does not say have already been forgiven. I'm going to say that again. Notice it says they will be forgiven, not have already been forgiven. Because there's a teaching going around, and what I call a false grace teaching that's going around in the body of Christ right now that says you never have to repent of your sins because Jesus already paid for them past, present, and future, and therefore your sins are already forgiven, therefore you never need to repent. That is a lie straight from the pit of hell. It It fails to differentiate the legal side of redemption versus the vital side of redemption, the experiential side of redemption. Yes, when Jesus died on the cross, he paid for the forgiveness of your sins, past, present, and future, just like he did the sinner. But the sinner still has to come. The unbeliever still has to come and confess Jesus as Lord, and then what Jesus paid for him becomes his in experience. Can you say amen? And it's the same with the believer. If a believer sins and they break fellowship, not relationship, but fellowship with the Father. Amen. I mean, if I speak an unkind word, in fact, if my wife was here to hear what I just said earlier, I'd probably have to go say, "I'm so sorry, honey, I'm so sorry." Amen. No. It's one thing to be married to a wife. It's another thing to have fellowship with her.
Lord, tell me about it.
Are you listening to me? And just because you have a relationship of husband and wife doesn't mean you are experiencing the fellowship intended by that relationship. Amen. Well, just because I am a son of the living God doesn't mean I'm having fellowship with my Father. If I sin, I'm still his son. But the purpose of the relationship is fellowship. He wants intimacy. He wants me. Jesus died not only to pay for my sins, he wanted me. He wanted to spend time with me. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Praise God. And so notice here, it says they shall be forgiven. See, we have to repent and Jesus forgives. He paid the price. Notice it says, if we confess our sins, we're believers, if we confess our sins, he's faithful. Notice, faithful and just. Why? Isn't that interesting? Doesn't it say faithful and merciful? Faithful and just. Because when God punished Jesus on our behalf, it was his justice demonstrated so he could show you mercy. And therefore, he is just when he forgives you. He never forfeited justice to show you mercy. Think about that. In order to remain just and show you mercy, he punished his own son. Isn't that beautiful? Our great substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? It's a beautiful thing. Amazing. This is the best legal document on the planet, right here. The greatest love story on the planet, right here. Hallelujah. Okay, so it says the prayer of faith. See, we're still talking about faith and healing. The prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord shall raise him up. Now, notice it doesn't say, and the prayer of faith might save the sick. You just never know. And the Lord might raise him up. It's hit and miss. No, it doesn't say that. All the promises of God in him are yes and amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen means so be it. Glory to God. And the prayer of faith will save the sick or heal the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. No matter the condition, no matter the situation, no matter the diagnosis, no matter what the doctor says, I don't care what it says, and I don't care how long you've had the disease. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Now notice it doesn't say, and the prayer of faith, if it be thy will, shall save the sick. See, that's a total contradiction. You can't pray for the sick and say, if it be thy will, heal them. Why? Because that's not faith. And I'm going to explain further. But just so you understand, Jesus, you know, people say, well, what about Jesus in the garden? He said, if it be thy will, remove this cup from me. Jesus wasn't praying for the sick. Amen. He was a human being, and he loved God, and from eternity past, he had been in union and perfect fellowship with his Father, and in this moment of time, he had a will that was contradictory to the will of the Father. Pure motives, but a different will. Why? Why, he'd been in fellowship with his father from eternity past. And now the weight of the sin of the entire world, all of our sins, past, present, and future, the iniquity of us all was going to be laid on him. He didn't want to go through that. You wouldn't want to either. Think about it. Amen. Jesus wasn't a coward. He wasn't afraid to die, although most humans really, you know, no one really prefers to die. Amen. So, and then it says there was that human weakness too. But the main thing was he did not want to be separated from his father. Are you listening to me? And bear that kind of punishment, that kind of curse. Amen. And so what did he say? If it be possible, let it pass. Nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. And he gave himself to the plan and the purpose of the Father of God so we could be redeemed. Can you say amen? But not once do you ever see Jesus, when he ministered to the sick, say, if it be thy will, Father, heal them. Because that is a total contradiction of the nature of faith. The word faith itself means firm persuasion. Yeah. Being convinced. A conviction. The prayer of being firmly persuaded shall save the sick. Being convinced shall save the sick. So see, if there is an if in your prayer, there is a doubt in your prayer. If is the badge of doubt. Now, let me explain that a little further by going to James chapter 1. Are you with me? Yes. Oh, this will help you. If you just listen, say, Father, pray while I'm teaching, pray, Father, help me to have ears to hear. Help me. Help me. Help me to get this. It'll change your life. It'll put you on the victory side, even when it looks like you're in defeat, because you have a foundation of God's word. Can you say amen? Now look at this. James chapter 1. Oh, this is going to help you. Listen. Verse 6. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. Now stay with me. Now don't read this with me and say, well, I'm a doubter. I'm such a horrible person. No. I'm going to help you here. Listen, we're going to get you out of doubt. Listen. Let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea and driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man, now notice this, let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. So you're not to suppose that you're going to receive anything from God unless you know and you are convinced that he has heard your prayer. Now, let me explain faith and no doubting. I just shared earlier with you that my wife and I, we are instructors at a school called Damada, India. It's a minister's training school in Bangalore, India, and that's where we're getting ready to go back to for a month. Well, as an instructor there, you know, I would teach them hours a day, and between the sessions, students would come up to me, and they say, oh, Brother Mark, that was so wonderful. That was so wonderful. And but I have a doubt about, I have a doubt. And I would immediately interject, well, doubts of the devil, but what's your question? And they'd laugh at me, and they would ask me a question. And it began to dawn on me, see, those who spoke English in India, their English was more of the real English than my English. Are you listening to me? They learn British English. And they say straight away. Well, we never say straight away. We say immediately. Straight away, I'm leaving, you know. And things like that. They use the word thrice and all just different things. Well, I began to discover when they said, Brother Mark, I have a doubt. They were not saying, Brother Mark, I'm not sure about God's word here. I don't believe it. That's not what they were saying. They were saying, Brother Mark, I have a question about what you taught. When they say, I have a doubt, that also means, I have a question. Are you listening to me? And that's exactly what James is saying right here. Let him ask in faith with no doubting. And if you look up the word in the Greek, it implies questioning. Let him ask in faith with no questions. What do you mean? What he's trying to say here is you have to be fully convinced of what the will of God is before you pray, not after you pray. You do not pray like this: Father, if it be thy will, heal my sister. But if you don't want her to heal her, give her grace to carry on. See, there's a question. There's an if. If is a question in that prayer. You're questioning what his will is. And so you have the attitude, if he answers, it must have been his will. If he doesn't answer, it wasn't his will. That is not how God operates. Amen. Let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. And how many times do you see people fail to receive healing or other answers to prayer because they approach God with that kind of attitude or that kind of belief system? So what are you saying, Brother Mark? You have to study the Word of God and find out what his will is before you ask him, so that when you come to him, you are fully convinced of what he has promised you. That's all faith is. Faith is simply expecting God to do what you know he said he would do. Faith is taking him at his word and acting upon it. What will God do for you? What can you be fully persuaded of? You can't be fully persuaded unless you know what he's promised you. And that's why Jesus said in John 15, verse 7, he said, he who abides in me and my words abide in him, he will ask what he desires and it will be done for him. One Greek scholar said that language is so strong in the original language, it actually says this: whatever he asks, if I don't have it, I will make it for you. Are you listening to me? Oh, he wants to bless you. He desires to heal you. He is madly in love with you, demonstrated by the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you listening? Let him ask in faith. Or you could say it like this: let him ask being fully persuaded. Hallelujah. Be fully persuaded. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. Now, let's go to one more, at least one more verse. This could be the last one. 1 John 5. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is good news. This is good news. I can't tell you how this stuff changed my life. When I heard, I couldn't get enough of it. I said, give me more. Put another tape in there. I've got to hear more. Changed my life. And I began seeing results when I prayed. Things happened. Amen. That's the plan of God for all of us. Now, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Oh, hallelujah. Here we go. This is the confidence. How many know we need, when we approach the Father, we need to do so confidently. Amen. Boldly. Not timidly. Boldly. Knowing something. Here it is. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So in order to have confidence in prayer, you have to know what his will is before you come to him. And his word is his will. Amen? His word is his will. You want to know God? How many want to know God? Then you got to get in his word. I'll never forget when I began to read my Bible, really read my Bible. Wow. I could take you to the very spot. You could drive, let me see, 18, about 28, 30 hours from here, maybe 33, maybe 32 hours from here. I could take you to 3rd Street in Williamsburg, Ohio, knock on the door, walk up the stairs, go into this giant bathroom. Old, as an old house, old carpet on the floor, big space. I've got it there, open to the Sermon on the Mount, reading like this. And I just could, it was just like the first time the scripture began to speak to me. I'm telling you, Get in your Bible and let it speak to you. It will change your life. It'll put money in your pocket. And it'll drive cancer out of your body. And it'll put some common sense in your mind. And it'll actually help your marriage. Hallelujah. Well, anyway, and it also might send you to India. Glory to God. Amen. So this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Isn't that wonderful? How many want God to hear your prayer? Find out what He wants. Find out His will and simply repeat it to Him. This is what you said, Father. This is what you promised. This is your word. Now look at it. Look at how the confidence progresses. And if we know that He hears us, how do we know He hears us? Come on now. Talk to me. How do we know He hears us? We ask something according to His will. And if we know that He hears us, notice what? We know. Woo! Not hope so. Not wish. Not think. No. We know. I know my name is Mark Bowling. I know 1 + 1 = 2. When you know the will of God from the scripture, like you know your name, like you know 1 + 1 = 2, faith is automatic. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Hallelujah. If we know He hears us, we know, now look at these two words, very important. We know we have the petition we have asked of Him. Notice it doesn't say we know we're going to have. We know we have. Before I feel it, before I see it, before I taste it, before I smell it, before I hear it, before I can perceive it with my five physical senses, we know we have the petition we've asked of Him. Faith says, one dear Baptist brother, the Baptist coined this phrase, and it is so accurate. The prayer of faith always ends with the glad testimony. It's mine, I have it now. Amen. It's mine, I have it now. Glory to God. I say, it's mine, I have it now. Amen. Before you see it, before you feel it, before you experience it, you say, it's mine, I have it now. Amen. Amen means so be it. It is so. Glory to God. Isn't that awesome? Oh, this is how it works. This is the unchanging law of faith. Unchanging. The unchanging law of faith believes it receives before it sees and feels, not after. Seeing and feeling comes after believing you have received. But if you will believe that you receive and say, it's mine, I have it now. I am healed of this condition. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care what the doctor says. It's mine. Therefore, Father, I thank You. You've given me the answer. I believe I have received, and I'm going to praise You until it's gone. You're either really soaking it in or you're half asleep. One of the two. Hallelujah. I know I have one lady with me. Hallelujah. Amen. No, I know. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. When Jesus saw their faith, He said, man, your sins are forgiven you. Get up and walk. And the man got up and walked. Can you say amen? Let me just give you, for those of you, maybe you've been struggling and you prayed and didn't immediately happen. Well, first of all, you might need to make an adjustment. You might just need to make an adjustment. Maybe you're waiting for God to do something. Maybe you're waiting for God to do, when really He's waiting for you to believe you have it now. Okay? That could be the scenario. You might need to make an adjustment. You might need to forgive somebody. But if you know there's no adjustments to be made, You just got to stand your ground. And one of the best stories, I almost recite this story in every of our conferences where we teach on faith. And these pastors are taking it and running with it. Brother Smith Wigglesworth, he, a man of God, a powerful, mighty evangelist and apostle of faith, he would have a, God used him to raise 23 people from the dead. So, I mean, this guy, he had some power. He had some power. In fact, he spent the night at one guy's house who had no feet, and apparently even some of the lower part of his leg. And one night before he went to bed, he spoke by the Holy Ghost to the man and said, tomorrow morning, get up and go to the shoe store and buy yourself a pair of shoes. Can you imagine? Glory to God. Let that happen again. Let those things happen. Raise up men like that, oh Father God. And so the man went, he wrestled with it throughout the night. But he came to the conclusion, I know this guy. He is a man of God. He doesn't speak presumptuously. He had the reputation. So he went and bought a pair of shoes. The man asked him what size and kind of looked down at the same time. He's like, oh, it was a real awkward moment. And the guy just blurted out some sizes and to kind of ease the tension there. And he got him a pair of shoes. He put the first shoe on, outgrew his leg and foot, filled up the shoe. Put the second shoe on, the stub, and outgrew the leg and foot, filled up that shoe. Got a creative miracle. Praise God. God, he created the universe. He spoke it into existence. Are you listening to me? That's really no big deal. To us, we think that's a big deal. But to God, that is nothing. Can you say amen? Praise God. He upholds all things with the word of his power. He measures the universe with the span of his hand. All things are possible to him. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. But here's another story. See, that's a creative instant miracle. But here's another story under his ministry. He had an annual convention. So this woman comes with a goiter in her neck. So every year he's having this convention, and she comes and she makes up her mind, I'm going to act on God's word. When hands are laid upon me, when he invites us to come and he's going to lay hands on us, at that moment I'm going to believe I receive my healing. Because Jesus said these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. I'm going to do it. I'm going to take my stance. So she goes up there. He lays hands on her and everybody else. Nothing to the outward eye seemed to happen. A couple nights later, when testimony time comes, she stands up to her feet and she says, I want to give praise to my Lord Jesus. Because a couple nights ago, hands were laid on me in the name of Jesus. I believed, I received, and according to his word, I am healed. And I'm here to tell you I am healed, and I praise God for it. And everyone's looking at her like she was nuts because the goiter's still there, visible to all. Everyone but the evangelist, Brother Smith. Amen. Well, the convention closes. She goes home. Everyone goes home. 1 year goes by. And she stands to her feet during testimony time. People are wondering what's going to happen. And she stands up. And there's that goiter, even a little larger than the year before. And she stands up and says, I want to praise my Jesus. Because 1 year ago, he wonderfully healed me of this goiter. And I'm giving him praise for it. Everyone looked at her like she was nuts. What is going on with this lady? But she had made her stance. She believed she received. Everyone goes home. The following year, 2 years after hands were laid on her, testimony time comes. People are wondering what this lady's going to do. Because the goiter's even a little larger. She didn't go forward for prayer. Because Smith Wigglesworth had a principle. He didn't believe in laying hands on you twice. He just believed, I asked the first time, God heard me, it's done. You know, and that, there's truth in that, but I also believe in administering the healing anointing more than once. I believe that. But we don't ask more than once. Hallelujah. What? He heard me. He heard me the first time. He's not hard. He doesn't forget either. Amen. We just stand our ground and we thank him for it. But anyway, so she didn't go forward for prayer, and testimony time comes, and she stands up to her feet and says, I want to thank my Jesus. 2 years ago, hands were laid upon me, and Jesus wonderfully healed me of this goiter. I believe I received it that moment. It's mine now. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Sits down. People think she's crazy. She goes home, and her mother rebukes her and says, "What are you doing?" You know, they're British, prim and proper. "What are you doing? You're bringing a reproach on our family. You're embarrassing us. Go look in the mirror and see for yourself. The goiter's larger than ever." The daughter was sad. She went to bed and did not look in the mirror, because faith doesn't look in the mirror. Faith looks in the mirror of God's word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. "Look not on the things which are seen, but on the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." The word of God is eternal. And we look at this and it changes our temporary circumstances. Can you say amen? And so she went to bed that night sad. Very sad. Mama must have really rebuked her pretty hard. I don't know. But she was sad. And she went to sleep praying this prayer: "Dear Jesus, please show the people, just like you've showed me, that I'm healed." Yeah. She went to sleep, woke up the next morning, brand new, no goiter. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Faith never gives up, because faith is in an unfailing God. He will never forsake you. He will never leave you. He will never let you down. If you think he's let you down, he has not let you down. Maybe you need to make an adjustment somewhere and operate truly in the law of faith. Because he loves you, and he gave you this law of faith to help you in your life. To not leave you wondering, what am I going to do? No. There's victory for you. There's healing for you. There's prosperity for you. There's blessing for you. There's forgiveness for you. There's all kinds of good things for you, because he loves you so much. Can you say amen? Let's all stand up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, let's just, if we could, bow our heads for a minute. Close your eyes. What a wonderful Jesus we serve. I mentioned here and there a little bit about redemption and him going to the cross for us. But let me just remind you again.